Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
It's the chocolate-fueled honey. You're ruining our kid. Back on the airwaves, back after the midterm. Easter holidays are done and we are straight back into it, having consumed more chocolate than I've ever consumed over an Easter holiday break. It is great to be back, Tina. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, no, it is great to be back. And I did just, Jarlath's not joking, he just ate a chocolate egg with his tea.
Marathon training, me whole. That's what
Sullivan
I said as I
right
ate
right
it.
Now.
I sent Sonia a picture of my favourite coffee shop. She said to me, is it the coffee you like or the desserts?
Ooh,
and I was like, okay, that was unnecessary. I think we both know what the answer is. I bloody love desserts, but the reason why you train for a marathon and the reason why most parents do an insane amount of exercise is so that they can eat whatever the fuck they like.
Exactly.
But you can't outrun a bad diet, apparently. This
you've just gone open a table.
This Easter holidays, like every time we record after the break, mm-hmm. we've seen mad stuff.
We've
been away.
We've been through mad stuff.
Your diet goes out the window. Mm-hmm. All the rules. You're trying to spin the plate of keeping work going while entertaining these little feckers.
It's confusing your kids' diet, though, too, because all of a sudden you're like, no, eat the eggs. Eat the eggs. Be polite. Eat the egg. And they bought you the egg. Eat
well, you're just suddenly presented with the changes that have happened to your kid in the time between Christmas and now.
Yeah.
And it's they're changing so fast,
mm-hmm.
particularly the little ones, right? Because they're gaining all their independence.
Yeah.
And they're like,
adorable.
I'm back. I'm in school. I'm big. I'm 4.
Yeah.
And you're not really ready for that level of don't tell me what to do. I'll just reassure you guys. Our kid is 13 now. Just to let you know, it gets way worse. Everyone relax. It's going to get way worse. But I actually think there is something reassuring in that, right? Here's why. You are in the trenches with these toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid is here for. Your emails, sharing what you're going through, the sense that we're not in it alone, is something that gets forgotten in that is when you think it's at its worst, you have to remember that at some point you may look back and go, that wasn't that bad.
It's true. You think that's never going to happen, but it does. That happens all the time. Definitely.
There's going to be a worse period than this. Whatever problem you appear to be in seems to be the worst ever. But there is some challenging stuff down the road. And even then, it's all good crack. Like I'm just trying to rinse some crack out of it, even though you're pulling your hair out.
Yeah, well, like I burst into tears the other day when reading one of the emails we got, because it was a mom I hear from a lot.
Yeah.
And this time it was an update email that I'm going to read out in Patreon section. But like, I vomited tears reading it. It made me so happy. And it
she
made
said
me think,
she felt like she won the lotto.
Yeah, but like, you know, sometimes this podcast is so stressful. No offense to anyone listening.
No, it's a lot of pressure on you.
Well, I just, you know.
It's no pressure on me. But you get the letters and you get these crazy problems coming in.
I just want to, I don't ever think they're crazy. They're completely normal. Anything you guys send
they
in,
sound crazy to
it's
me.
No problem. I've seen it before. But without seeing the child in the flesh, I'm always worrying, am I getting this right? Am I getting this right? And it was just an amazing, we're getting a lot more of those emails in than problem emails at the moment. So we're getting a lot of kind of full circle emails. I mean, the podcast has been on 2 years now. So we are getting people who've been listening the whole time and getting back now with nice feedback. But I finally caught up on all my emails yesterday, so
she took her 2 weeks. Tina spent the break catching up. We also spent the break meeting up with another brilliant parenting podcast that you should be listening to if you're not already. We don't mind promoting other podcasts on this show because
it's a community.
You need all the help you can
get. Infinite podcast.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah. And Jen Hogan is a lovely person.
So
we love her.
Jen Hogan's parenting podcast invited us on to a live episode that you can now download.
Is
it out
yet? Jarlett on, actually.
They only invited me, which I felt was a strange choice. Like, I get it. they wanted a male perspective on this Mummies and Daddies report that Aldi had commissioned around what parents are feeling, what they're going through, and the findings of it related heavily.
Like something the government should be doing.
Definitely. Well, the findings related heavily to what men were doing in this. So if it was about child behavior, I'd imagine that it would have been you in there. But I really felt your voice was missed. I felt you should have been.
No, I'm joking. I didn't mind at all not being asked because, I mean, I would have found that terrifying. It was filmed. It was filmed.
I forgot
an audience.
That you were delighted it was me and not you.
The best thing. Can we just say before we talk about the report, the most amazing thing that happened that day is some people had obviously read their invitation.
Apart from meeting Tony the Carrot.
Oh, yeah. What a gent.
What a gent.
He was a gent. But some people skimmed their emails for sure and brought along their kids. It was not a mommy.
Or they didn't have childcare.
Yeah.
That was another thing that was discussed around support.
If you'd read the email, you wouldn't know.
If you'd read the email, you're going to a podcast recording.
And it's about something quite serious. But anyway, it was still the highlight of my day because a little gangster, tiny little Lizzo, walks in.
And tiny kid in a ski suit.
In a ski suit.
That rustled as she walked.
Oh my God. And she had
soother in mouth.
Attitude.
Oh my God.
And I loved it. And I was like, everyone was so polite and it was made extra awkward because we're obviously talking about how impossible it is for moms to manage their kids. And there's this little girl disrupting the whole thing.
Well, what she was doing, the only way to describe what she was doing was we're all sitting on 4 high stools. Jen Hogan is hosting everything beautifully. There's mics everywhere and
wires
loads of technicians.
Everywhere.
Wires, all sorts of really expensive
We're
kit.
In an old building,
in the
a really
old
beautiful
UCD
old
building on Stephen's Green. Wooden floors. This kid in the ski suit, cutest kid ever, is stomping up to us and kind of putting her hands on her hips, going, "What do you think of that?"
Yeah.
And then turning back around, stomping back down.
And
everybody is going, wonderful. And you can see the Aldi people going, "Can somebody do something about this kid?"
Nobody wanted to do it because it was so.
I mean,
it was
so
funny.
Tempted to go, "I mean, whose kid is this?" The story, like.
I wanted you guys to invite her to be part of the chat. I was like, she has a lot to say.
I just knew that they were going to have a nightmare editing around this.
Yeah.
And her mom was standing at the back going, "Isn't she adorable?"
She really was.
This is fantastic.
But her mother had also brought like a story box that projects and says the story out loud.
Amazing.
I was like, she did not read the email.
Or maybe that was just a thing that they were doing before that and managed to get brought.
Okay, cool. You're being nice. But then the mom did just put her outside the door.
Yeah.
in a really old building with all these staircases.
I think that other PR people that were involved were tasked with the responsibility of taking care of that little legend. And what we had, though, we'll discuss as the episode goes on, the findings of the Mummies and Daddies report.
Yeah, they were bleak.
Pretty bleak. Also, if you say bleak, right, this is my point again. Hearing that you're not the only one isn't bleak.
No, but it was bleak in that not much has changed in Ireland in terms of the roles in the home.
Yeah, and I, you know, I quizzed the woman that did the report on how truthful people were being and what was she seeing. And she explained to me how it was conducted and how rigorously honest they get people to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll go through some of the findings as the episode goes on.
She actually said that honesty was a problem, like that they were being so honest.
Because they gave us face at the end that said, is there anything else you want to say to Aldi? And that's when people went nuts. I'll tell you what I want to say to Aldi. That middle aisle is too tempting.
I don't think that podcast from Mamiya and Me has come out yet. But
it's on the way.
I think that's going to be an incredibly important episode for parents to listen to.
Well, let's get to our own episode. We've got three incredible questions for you this week. And of course, a hefty chunk for our members over on Patreon. If you've already joined up, thank you so much. If you haven't, this is the week. A good afternoon, Tina and Gerald. That's how I'm going to read out all the emails now.
Gerald,
how are you doing?
Gerald knows I hate accents. I hate them.
Like, so do you, like, I just hate acting?
No, I just don't.
So when Cillian Murphy was playing Oppenheimer, you were like, oh, why is he doing that voice?
No, I hate, like, people who do it as a living. Like, I don't hate them, but I don't enjoy it. Like,
you've definitely, I think you have a sensory issue with sound.
I definitely do. I've been telling you that. I've been like,
I didn't hear that.
I've been saying to you, I really, you guys are too loud. It's hurting my ears.
It's a bit rough to deny your comedian husband the opportunity to work on funny voices.
Look, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, she says, looking at her watch. Jarantina, I love the show. I listen nearly every week over a year now. Delighted to learn how to be a better parent. So thank you both. Well, thank
you.
Tina.
Thank you
for taking the time to do this for us. Recently signed up to Patreon. Legend. The banter between the two of you is great. And it's a joy to hear the level of respect you have for each other. I don't know about that. I don't feel that's a two-way street. But anyway, I'm blessed with two wonderful boys, aged 5 and 3. So you can imagine the crack being a full-time referee between the pair of them. I'm a single mum. About 2.5 years now. Oh. And I'm going through an extremely difficult separation / divorce. It's been tough to say the least. But I think things seem to be starting to settle a bit recently. The boys are healthy, so that's the main thing. But I worry about their emotional development as they come back from being with their father nearly every time with derogatory comments about me that, inverted commas, daddy says. I can only hope they won't be scarred too much from this behaviour. My 5-year-old goes to play therapy, so hopefully this will help. I intend sending both boys regularly so therapy can be a normal part of their lives for as many years as possible. Do you know of anything else that might help, please? I have to say the name of your show is really appreciated for my situation. Separately, here's something to possibly bring to the table sometimes for parents. Every night to ask your child 3 questions. Did you learn anything today? Did anything make you sad today? What made you happy today? This is a brilliant email.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It may help a kid know they have a daily opportunity to bring a worry to their parent. Class.
Yeah.
Best wishes and thank you for giving your listeners and fans the opportunity to be the best versions of themselves for their children. Anonymous.
That's such a nice email.
What an email.
I know, right?
Let's start with the 3 questions, right?
Well, I love that. And I mean,
you've been doing that a good while.
Yeah, well,
in that format.
It's very hard to make that a consistent thing because sometimes bedtime is fraught. But it is, if you can build that into your routine, it doesn't have to be a bedtime either. It can be something that happens in the car. But definitely the reflection journal, that guided reflection journal we've had, those are the kind of leading questions that are in them. But if you can have, if you have the relationship with your kid where you can do that together, that's wonderful. And she's dead right. It gives that child an opportunity to know they have space where if there's something on their mind. You just have to be ready to also teach them that they can't bring up 100
Yeah, well, this is what I was about to say.
Or pull on the heartstrings too much.
Because how do you manage that side of it, right? Because kids, as you've always said, are looking for any sort of attention.
Well, it's really just your language. Sorry, did I cut you off there? I didn't mean to. Oh, Charlotte. It would just be saying, you know, the phrase, thank you for telling me that. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. That's very direct and easy for kids to understand. And thanking them for telling you is perfect because they feel great. She just said thanks.
I tend to go too, as you know, too deep into my sympathizing for...
Oh my God, you're like, the worst.
What did that kid say to you?
Darling, you're the worst.
Oh, I'm going to sort this out.
Like just the other day, he was telling you something that I knew was bullshit.
Oh,
and you
really?
Were like completely on his side. And I was like, Jarlett.
Well.
And then you're like, why don't you believe him? And I'm like, because he's talking baloney right now. And
we're obviously not talking about our kid. We're talking about some other. This is an imagined scenario.
And we didn't do any of that in front of him. It was all with our eyes.
But like, here's the thing. I know that you mentioned bedtime can be fraught. And what this mom is doing is bringing us something that can really help people tone it down.
It's true.
Because it's like, well, are we going to do our three questions or are we going to, you know, have an argument over whether you've brushed your teeth or not? Because they're going to love the three questions
more
than anything because it's, think about it, it's eye to eye contact.
Yes.
Down at their level.
Ends with a hug.
Speaking from the soul.
It's a kid, like every kid will love that.
Even. The older ones.
Yes, teenagers, absolutely. Mm. They think they feel heard. Mm. There's a respect for their voice. They're going to love it. I love that she put that in email because sometimes it's things like these. My brace. It's techniques like these that I forget to say because you assume everyone knows about them, but they don't. Everyone doesn't know about them.
Well, what about kids coming back from time with the dad?
I know that's
going, oh, this is typical of you. Dad says you always do this.
I know. Well, you know what? It's very poor practice by the father, okay? No matter what they have gone through as a couple, that is poor practice. But it's a very tough position for her to be in because she can't really say it to
back.
The dad. Well, she could if she wanted to, but I wouldn't encourage
that.
So
tempted. You're like, it's well, very when you go hard over to your father's, you say to him, well, this is typical of your father.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to work.
I mean, she just sounds like she's so in tune with children's needs. The idea that she already has them in play therapy.
Oh, well, explain what play therapy is to me. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who's gone, what the hell is this?
If you have the opportunity to get play therapy for your kids, some people think it's just for kids who are troubled or, you know. Mm. And yeah, it will be one of the things they suggest. But play therapy is actually such an incredible resource. If you have a child who isn't great at expressing their emotions, or maybe a child who is struggling with their confidence, or a child who's not talking yet, play therapy and play therapists are trained so well to give the child the space and the security. And it is just playing. They are playing with the child. And I've always said to you, if there's something wrong or if a child, something wrong with a kid in my class, get down on the carpet and play a game with them.
Even a jigsaw or
something.
It'll
come out. Mm. They will talk to you. Yeah, a jigsaw if you just want to talk. But if you actually want to know something that's going on in their mind, get out the Duplo people and the Lego people or a doll's house or get little figures involved because what you want is conversation to happen between the toys.
It's like a bread poultice.
Well, you know, it
draws it out.
Look, play is an unbelievable, powerful tool. If you're worried about something being on your kid's mind, if you're worried that something has happened to your kid, get down on the ground and play with them. And once they're comfortable, start peppering them with questions. And it's just amazing what will come out.
Right. So before we get to what your suggestion is for something else she wants, because she's looking for something else, You mentioned my tendency to believe every word that comes out of my son's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is definitely a problem. And there's usually
every parent.
Every parent.
Yeah.
But usually one more than the other.
Yes.
Like one is more gullible.
Kids will arm themselves with that pretty. Uh-huh. You'd be amazed how quickly kids will know this is something that works.
Isn't that incredible?
But I'm not suggesting for a second that these things aren't being said. But you're right. She does need to take it tiny bit that they might not. The kid can be, what is the word?
Emotionally manipulative.
No, I'm not going to say that. But, you know, unbeknownst to them, yes. But unconsciously, yes.
They're putting a little bit of extra sauce.
But they may put a bit of top on it, definitely.
To get a better response.
But they're not make, like, I don't think a child would be able to make that shit up. So there definitely stuff is being said. But can she say it to the dad? I don't think so. I mean, that's just not going to go well for her. I mean, if she was able to get an outside voice in, I definitely think if her kids are in nursery and school, she needs to go to the school, sit down meeting and explain to them exactly what's been going on at home. It's really important your teacher knows. I know sometimes people are like, that's my private life, I don't want them knowing. But actually, they're in charge of your kid all day. They need to know what they're dealing with. And if you just go into them, you're not going in to give out about their father. What you're going in to say is, unfortunately at the moment, my husband seems to offload on the children. Mm. All I'm asking for you guys to do is, if you hear them saying any of these things, could you just note it down? You know, I'm trying to get on top of it myself. And what you hope that might happen is, if the teachers do hear it and write it down enough, they will be the ones who go to the dad and say, look, your child is saying these things in class. It's not appropriate. You need to model better behavior for him. Now, what the mom can do in these moments when the kids say it to her is, first of all, do not react or stoop to the level like you suggested. You have to stay calm. And you can't. All you can do is hear them say it and then don't react to it. First of all, the reaction will make your kid use it and say it more. Then they need to just say things like, well, I'm sorry your father said that. I love you so much and thank you for feeling that you could tell me, and just give them a hug.
I'd love to know what the things are.
Specifics. I mean, if he's talking to a 5 and a 2-year-old like that, like, that's just so inappropriate.
So a friend of mine wrote an incredible book about parental alienation, that if you're a single parent or you're worried that might be the beginnings of it, planting the seed of parental alienation, where one parent tries to turn the other on the kids. This is really worth a read. I'm going to put the link in the info. The working title, when I read it as a draft, was called Boys to Men, but I think it's called Don't Hug Your Mother.
Don't Hug Your Mother,
which is one of the things they were told not to do. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So your other alternative, if play therapy isn't an option, because as you say, not everybody can afford it.
No.
Can you train up in it, maybe? Is that the way?
You can, and I'm not, like, what I'm about to say next is nothing against play therapists. I mean, their jobs are so important, and obviously they are needed to be trained in extreme circumstances. But for something like this, there's no reason the mom can't take on that role with her kids if she can find the time and the patience, because playing with kids is hard, to get down and play farm. You will get it out of your kids the same way a play therapist will. They will, or even if you just get them playing together, absorbed in a game, and just listen to what they're saying, you will find out a lot from that. You just will.
Right. The Mummies and Daddies report that we mentioned at the start of the show revealed all sorts of stuff around this very subject, around feeling like you have no time, because there would be those listening going, the hell would I find time to do an hour of play therapy with
so
my kid?
Isn't that so sad that there's no time for play, but there isn't? And
but there was also no time in the report. People found that they had even less time for hobbies.
Yes.
And time together. as time a couple,
together as a couple
was like an hour a week.
The idea of me time for the mom was just not a thing at all.
Whereas the dads were not having to make that same compromise, or certainly weren't. It wasn't happening at all.
This is what was showing up in the report. This is not our opinion. This was showing up in the report. But also, like I told you before, play has become such a strange thing that children are coming to nurseries now in early year settings and they don't know how to play anymore. I get so worried why people aren't angrier about that. Kids don't know how to play anymore. They come to nursery and instead of working on their science and numbers, the first few weeks are spent teaching them how to interact with actual toys and dollhouses and tractors. I mean, that's not right. That's wrong.
And it's going up the way.
Yeah, because
there is
how you express yourself. You want your child to express themselves, but if they're not playing, how do they learn? Like, I don't know. Anyway, look, this mom's amazing. Everything she's already doing, incredible. Your kids are so lucky. Really, where you need to work is not on your kids. It's actually you not reacting to the things that are being said. So you're actually the one who maybe invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe let yourself have some therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because he's trying to come at you with the kids. You've got them sorted. You are thinking of them and meeting your their needs. How's about you think of yourself for a bit, I think.
One of the findings of the Mummies and Daddies report commissioned by Aldi that we talked about with Jen Hogan on her podcast was the roles, the sense of responsibility of the father and the mother and how certain things were not his area.
Yeah.
And I raised on the show that I think the pandemic set the gender equality roles back in this way.
Yes.
Because both parents are working from home all of a sudden and dad's work couldn't be interrupted, but moms could.
Well, this is what we saw. We definitely saw this in a lot of the homes. The moms were losing their mind because they were trying to do their job and mind the kids, whereas no one was allowed to interrupt
dad's work
in his room. He wasn't to be interrupted. And it was startling because it was like, honestly, I think it's had such a bad effect.
Yeah, and what the
dads came out kind of harping back to, my job's really important, you deal with the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Why would I be dealing with that? It was really startling to see the findings where this was a concern and this was a problem, which I don't think was as bad pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you suggest to somebody who's listening to this now going, I am living that nightmare? There are certain things that he just does not see as his area, as his problem, as something that he has to concern himself with.
I know, but look at all the relationships that didn't survive the pandemic because it caused so many arguments, so many things that were previously ignored. Like the way people did think about these roles were brought to the surface and relationships did not survive it. I mean, I just think, if you're a father and you don't think it's 50% your responsibility, that's bananas. And I think it comes down to what? Am I not?
Well, I just know that I'm not doing as much as I should. Like I do.
I'm not going to get into a whole jar. You're actually great. You are actually great. You do pull your weight. I won't have it and I don't want to sit here.
Are you sure you don't want to get into how great I am?
Want to sit here. I think we genuinely annoy people when I'm like, how brilliant you are as a husband. On the day of this podcast recording, actually, when you came off stage, I was like, Jar, you kind of talked yourself down a bit. But I feel like that's because you didn't feel comfortable actually saying how much of an equal house we are. You know, the only time I tend to pull rank.
Yeah, because then the lads would slag me. Like,
yeah.
The boys be like wedgieing me afterwards.
I tend to pull rank if we're in video shops. Because you revert to being a 10-year-old
video
child.
Shops?
Yeah, well, look.
What's a video shop?
I don't know. Game shops.
Are you talking about Extravision?
Yeah, I don't know. Game shops.
Game shops. Okay,
yeah,
right.
That's the only time
what
I tend
What do I do
to
wrong in there?
I
become a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
We went to St. Albans last week where Mikey grew up. It was amazing. Got to see all our old friends, old friends. It was so good for the soul. And I left
Tina went into anthropology.
For 2 minutes.
Kex, which is a second-hand toy emporium. You have it here. You have a Kex here.
And you know what I did? I thought, I'm going to say to Charlie, don't buy anything. And then I went, no, that's really condescending. You don't need to worry. He's not going to just buy something in there. Tina, just relax. You do not need to say that to Gerald. Go and enjoy an apology. I come back and meet them in the coffee shop. He has bought himself a Nintendo Game Boy. Then he does
and
not need.
The men listening to this now are going, is it the vintage one? Maybe the girls are too, because honestly, it was an antique Game Boy.
But
the
like
original,
he,
the one that you wanted in 1987.
I was so disappointed. And he has Mikey so on his side. Mikey was like, Mom, you don't understand. These are so rare.
This is going to be worth a fortune.
And I was like, no, it's not. It's not rare. It's not worth a fortune. Your dad just blew some more money.
Yeah, no, there's definitely points at which both of us go back into your childhood.
Yeah.
And I'm especially vulnerable around things that I wasn't allowed to have or couldn't afford.
Which is everything. So you're especially vulnerable everywhere. That's why I know not to leave you on your own.
Well, there was always a friend, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Who could have those things. This next email relates to that friend who there is a bit of a infatuation with. And oftentimes when you're infatuated with another kid and they're the greatest thing ever, they're not that nice to you. They don't feel the need to be nice to you because it's too easy. Tina and Jar, absolutely love your show. I have a bit of a tricky friendship issue. My son has a new friend in Montessori and they were obsessed with each other. For whatever reason, the friend hasn't been so nice as of lately. My son comes home often upset and telling me that the friend tells him he's not good at anything and that he doesn't want to be friends anymore. And during drop-off or pick-up, my husband and I see the kid trying to lock arms with others on the playground and block my son I get that they're little and trying to navigate relationships for the first time, that there's two sides to every story, yada, yada, yada. My son often brings up wanting another playdate with this kid, and I finally said no. I told him, who he chooses to be friends with at school is up to him, but he's a really cool, great friend who deserves the same in his friends. But he's shattered over the playdate issue and told me he's never going to talk to me again. And that ended after 5 minutes, it has to be said. Am I being too much? Trying so hard to balance him doing his own thing and learning his own path, but I can't bear to see him treated badly by his friends, inverted commas.
I know, it's hard. And look, I am around children more than half my life. And yet, if I saw my own kid being treated like that, I'd really have to check myself on not going over and being that mom who's like, I will destroy you.
Yeah, push him in the chest.
Yeah, but look, you can't get involved in kids' friendships. That is something I know from a lot of experience. And while it is horrible what he's going through now, if you plant the idea in your kid's head that another kid doesn't like him, you're going to make it worse. Because in a few days, they're going to be over it. They're going to have moved on and it's in the past.
I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Okay.
They're five, Charlotte. I'm
on board with everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only slight change that I'd make is how she said it. So she has said, she's shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's resulted in him feeling distraught and shattered, her words. Whereas all she had to do was redirect, like you always say. Just go, maybe another day.
Yes, that would have been better. Telling him he can't have a play date
with that kid
is too much.
Yeah. That's where I think. That's what I mean by respectfully disagree, because you're still the boss of who comes into your house.
And when your kids are that small, you never need to use the word no. You can always redirect.
They'll never know.
They're just happy to think, oh, she's going to think about that. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. We'll organize that soon.
You raise a really good point, though, about kids being tools to each other 1 minute and then the next being
horrific.
Like, that does not change.
I said it to you, like, no parent should ever have to go onto the playground, because you won't survive it without crying. Because if you saw how children treat each other every lunchtime, you'd be horrified. I think you would hug your child a bit tighter when they come home from school if you saw what playgrounds look like.
So Tina worked on playground duty in England when we were there.
Yeah, for my first year teaching, I only did the morning. So to make up my hours, I had to do the older school playground duty every day.
She came back like she'd just been on a tour of duty in Vietnam.
It was hard because I really cared about all the kids. Now, like other teachers were great, but, you know, had a bit of a more...
Hands-off
approach. But I really felt like these kids need help navigating these friendships.
There needed to be a sheriff.
Yeah, but you know what? That time on the playground was great because I did raise it to the fabulous vice principal we had in that school. And she created this gorgeous thing, which was playground monitors, where she trained up a load of the year sixes to be actually go around intervening in little, you know,
skirmishes
that were happening with the younger ones. And it was the younger ones.
Right? But if her husband has witnessed a kind of bullying behavior.
Oh, look, they have to go to the teacher. This is when the teacher is your asset, your ally. Look, whatever that teacher says to you, they've allowed this to become the energy in their classroom. Mm. They haven't been on it friendship-wise and they need to step up. You need to go into that teacher and tell them you're really worried your child is being bullied. You don't want to use that word yet, but you're worried that they're being isolated a little bit. They're definitely being uttered. Things are being said to them. You don't think that's okay. I mean, the teacher will be so mortified. They'll feel awful for the kid because at that age in Montessori, your whole job is for them to be this social organism.
This is my next question. What do you do as a parent if, like you say, the teacher will be mortified? How does a parent deal with being dismissed in that scenario? We're talking Montessori level.
Okay.
And we definitely witnessed this. We won't say where. Raise a thing and just kind of a teacher just goes, oh, kids, you know.
Well, you have to be ready to say that I get that you haven't noticed this yet. I know you're busy in here, but we have noticed it. So I would like you to start noticing it. I'd like you to start watching and see if you see anything. And at the end
of
the week,
can I be the teacher?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll try. But these children are doing their own thing. We can't be interacting and keeping an eye on every interaction between them.
I would say to that teacher, well, I'm sure you're aware that it is your job to keep an eye on our kids. And if you aren't able to fulfill your role, then I will have to meet with the principal. Do not worry, I will let her know, or him, that I have spoken to you already about this. But if you're not willing to take this seriously, I will take it higher.
Oh, I am taking it seriously.
Well, that's great. That's good to know. So we will meet next week, and I'd like to hear your updates.
I love it. Natina, like, that might be the most powerful piece of advice that you've ever given on this podcast, because I genuinely feel that when people are going to teachers, well, a lot of the time, they're getting the right response. There's great people there. Mm. There must be nothing as disempowering as going to them with a genuine concern and being battered away on the grounds of, oh, you're being over the top. And we heard that at different turns when we expressed concerns.
Yes, and I have to stress that having been a teacher for so long, the kids who get kept an eye on are the parents who shout loudest. So don't be afraid to use your voice, because they are doing what those parents say, because they don't want that inconvenience of having to deal with that parent again. So they will be like, we got to keep on top of this. I can't be having one of those meetings again. I'm not getting paid enough for this, is what they'll say. So just go in there. Hopefully you don't have to get serious with them, but don't be afraid to use it. Because they will work harder for you if they're afraid of you, because they won't want to deal with that mom.
I think pretty much the very first babysitter that came into my house, I had a crush on.
Really?
I remember also having a crush on all of my sister's friends.
Really?
Not Maeve's friends, the sister who was like 2 years above me, but my eldest sister's friends, just in love with them all. All.
So you seem to have been in love with every single person on the telly as well, though.
Most of them.
You think we're watching anything from the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, but like,
it's like, I was in love with that racism.
No, like, it was just a better life. It was just like Kelly Kapowski, just like Saved by the Bell, all of it. Home and Away. The weather was so much better. It's just like, what are we doing living here? Like, why are we on this windswept, wet island?
I love it.
When there's a place where people don't just have one outfit.
We're not all wearing the same dumb stores.
Same dumb stores clothes. Everybody dressed the same, like Cold War Russia. And there they are. They're going to the Max for lunch. Going to lunch. They're going for chips and burgers for lunch.
Friends,
I'm eating Rye Vita.
Oh, Rye Vita. Were Cara's friends aware that you fancied them? Were you chill?
You'd have to ask them. I think I was pretty chill. She did have one exchange student who was so attractive that boys were coming to the house.
You lived in the middle of nowhere.
No, this one, we were on holidays to find out if this was the house that the pretty girl went into.
Oh, wow.
And she was horrendous to me. And I did not fancy her, even though she was clearly the most attractive girl Kerry had ever seen.
Because didn't fancy her because she was
horrible to me.
Oh, wow.
And I was getting changed in my room and she walked by and flicked open the door to try and embarrass me. Even though she knew I was in there getting changed. She thought it'd be hilarious. But that was kind of French humour at the time, wasn't it?
She must have been very pretty because your sister Cara is very beautiful.
I'll dig out a photo of her because
maybe they were
couldn't
just coming
see
up
it.
To
you
see
know
Cara.
When somebody's mean to you and suddenly you can't see. Like, who did
photo,
you fancy?
You have a photo.
Oh, there
of
is.
Her.
There's pictures from that family trip.
In our house right now.
I keep them under the mattress. Who was the elder statesman that you fancied? What was the youngest crush? Our next question is, this is not just out of nowhere. Our next question is about crushes.
You mean like on people off the TV?
When you were a kid, what was the grown-up person that you fancied
well, I don't
real
know,
life?
I don't even know their name. I just know that they used to work in the bar in Hamilton's in Leenan. And I used to be day maid if I went in and they were there. I don't
really?
Even know their
And what
name.
Age were you?
Probably 9 or 10 or
nine
something.
Or 10.
I was definitely way,
isn't it amazing
way
how
younger than
close
them.
Your kids can play their hand to their chest that really? Nobody would have known.
He was the best looking person I'd ever seen in my life.
Even to this day.
Oh, I can't really remember anymore. But he...
Possibly.
I just couldn't believe that somebody that good looking was just living in Lena. I think he was one of the kings or something. I wouldn't even know him now.
One of the kings.
I remember meeting him at the races when I was a bit older and like being like, I can't breathe. Oh my
yeah,
God.
There was definitely some fella in Navin you told me about who came to the door.
Oh no, do not. Feck off, Charlie Regan.
That was triggering, was it?
That is so very... I will tell that story.
She's gone red.
If you don't say his name. It was so
embarrassing. We'll save it to the end. We'll save it to the end. We have to get to this question.
She's, God, I'm going to be sick.
She had got her. So good. Okay. Hey, Tina and Jar, this is definitely going to be your strangest question yet. Not as strange as Tina's interaction with this gentleman at the door as a child.
It was pretty innocent.
I have a situation with my 7-year-old son that I'm unsure how to handle. Usually, he's a real little sweetheart. Brilliantly behaved. The perfect child. Really. But his behavior is awful when he's around my new partner. He's developed a crush on her and is instantly jealous of any attention she gives to anyone else, especially me. He becomes rude, vindictive, spiteful around her and has begun to resent me for all the extra discipline I've had to apply.
Ooh.
Now, when my partner casually hugs or kisses me, he immediately intercedes. This is like the way some dogs are, you know.
It's like that kid from, that film with Hugh Grant in it? She's not your mom. She's mine.
She's only sweet on me.
Yeah, she's not sweet on you. She's only sweet
no, this
on
is,
me.
But, Tina, this is quite a serious one because, like,
yeah,
he's trying to discipline and it's getting worse. When we hug, He tries to physically pry us apart.
Oh God, he's seven. Like, this is embarrassing.
Today he was so distressed by this that he hit me as hard as he could.
Okay.
He has absolutely never behaved aggressively before. So this is his trigger. This lady. He's always been laid back and affectionate kid. Separation from his mother was mutual and peaceful, and we co-parent effectively with no major conflict. He was too young to remember the separation anyway, so I don't think that's where it's coming from. He's mentioned, I think there's quite a bit in that paragraph there, because, you know, he may not consciously remember, but he definitely knows.
Oh, look, this we know is what's different. Happened.
Yeah. He's mentioned how he wishes my partner was his girlfriend and how he wants me to go away so she will marry him instead.
And he's seven.
Which we found kind of funny and cute at first, but now it's become a real struggle.
Oh, God.
I'm sure you listening to this, the writer of this email, will understand. You know, our reaction here, we're not laughing at
I am
you.
A little bit, I'm sorry. I'm laughing well, I'm at not how laughing cute this at, kid is.
But that is some funny shit. Like, Tina's in the meantime scouring the room for a rat, which is not in this room.
Okay, sorry.
I've talked to him. I've explained how his behavior is unacceptable. To no success. Not sure what I can do to help him through this. Would love to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so here's what I think. Obviously, this kid has a lot of feelings that he's not able to fully express yet. But secondly, I think the most important thing here is he has noticed that daddy feels something for this woman that he has not seen before.
Mm.
And he's seeing daddy behave in a way that maybe he hasn't seen daddy behave towards any other women. And he's like, this is serious. And he doesn't know how to process any of this. So I think maybe he thinks he's spoken to the kid enough, but he hasn't.
Yeah.
He hasn't prepared him enough. He hasn't told him exactly what's going on. He hasn't. This kid could also be worried that he really likes this girl and daddy might break up with her and then she's gone, you know? So I think, like, we have to take in mind how many relationships has he witnessed come and go, you know?
True enough.
He really, like, it's such a compliment. He likes this girl so much. He wants her to keep her here.
For himself.
And if you're not going to keep her here, I will. I'll keep her here.
Right. Well, that is possible.
It's possible. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not saying that's the absolute.
But there's some, first of all, there's some miscommunication. There's a misunderstanding. I always think this when people heckle at comedy shows. You're not getting this.
No, they haven't explained
to him enough.
This
kid doesn't understand that even if you do feel this way, that's an unacceptable way to behave with a woman.
Absolutely. You need to, there needs to be a family meeting where you, your child, and that lady, your partner, sit down and you talk about how you want to be happy. You all want to be able to hang out. There's certain things that are happening at the moment that cannot happen anymore. Allow the child to talk. Remembering that you can't react to him in the family meeting. You just have to take on board what he's saying. But with the hope to leave the family meeting with three new rules of how we behave when this lady is in the house. What is acceptable behavior. And how the three of us, and also, sorry, I nearly forgot. You need to stress every single day to this kid that you love them and you're not going anywhere as their father.
Right.
We totally take for granted that the fear here might be, I'm going to lose you. I'm going to lose you to her. You seem to like her more than me. Or you're going to break up with her and I'm going to lose her. Like, there's so many worries. If your child is acting out, the main thing is he's worrying. There's a lot of worries in there. You're going to need to talk to him. And if you can't, talk to him in a family meeting setting if you don't think he's mature enough for that. Just like I said earlier, get the toys out. Get a game going. And when the game is really in, like, firing away and he's so into the game, then pepper him with questions about how do you feel when this happens, what would you like about this, and then you'll get your truth out of him too. But I mean, it is hilarious, it's so inappropriate, but whatever way you're dealing with it right now, you're not doing it right.
And there's
job.
Something underneath. there is something
of course, like here is a worry.
In terms of the physical aggression stuff, right? Because that's it now escalating. There's the kind of grumpy stuff like, anyone heard me? Mm. And then there's the actually engaging in, like this guy is really adamant in the email. This was a great kid.
Yeah, so the upsetment has happened here. Like he's acting out.
There's also a boundary cross in terms of, you know, we don't use our hands for that kind of stuff.
He might not just be getting enough affection, this kid, too. He might just need a few more hugs. But I would.
Does she hug him? That's the other question.
Maybe he's getting hugs and affection from her that he's not used to getting and he really likes it.
Maybe.
But also, I would say this dad needs to kind of ignore
some of
the stuff. Yeah. Like when he says these things.
Might be getting a big reaction.
Just ignore it. You don't have to interact with him on that. Just let him say it. Just say things like, oh, thanks for telling me that. Oh, that's interesting.
If you are listening to this now going, I lived through this well.
Please get in touch because, I mean, it is a
do get in touch
because
we have not had this question. So we'd love to hear from you. Honey, you are ruining our kid at gmail.com is the email address. Tina gets back to absolutely everybody. And, you know, you don't have to be on the air, even though we'd love to.
Yeah.
We'd love you to. With so many emails from people going, don't put me on the air. Come on forward and understand that you will be kept anonymous. We can change any details you want and Tina will find a strategy or at least send you in the right direction.
Yeah. And with this kid, though, just before we leave it, like I'm saying, ignore the small stuff, right? Obviously, you can't ignore if he's hitting out. So you kind of have to give him a warning then.
Mm.
And you have to be ready to follow through with an achievable consequence. I say this all the time. But if your child is hitting you, that's not okay.
No.
You can't just ignore that. But what you can do is give them a warning and say, if you do that again, that's unacceptable behavior. If you do that again, there's going to be a consequence. The consequence will be, and you say it, and if they do it again, you say, okay, I told you not to do it. I gave you a warning. Now this is the consequence for that behavior. And then let it go. Once you've lived out that consequence, don't hark back to it, you know?
Come on over to patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. To hear the extra chunk of this week's episode. Every single week there's an extra chunk over there for you to enjoy where we hear back from previous emailers to see how things worked out and a deeper discussion on some areas and books that we're reading at the moment that might be helpful to you. Price of a pint each month over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. Massive help to keep this podcast running. I'm back out on tour all the way through April, May, June for the End of the Year Man tour. We're taking it to America. So if you're listening to this in America, Boston, Chicago, New York, no tickets left in Boston, a few left in Chicago, and we're adding an extra show in New York at the Gramercy Theatre. Mm-hmm. Come out, see
exciting.
The show. It is very exciting. See you soon. Tina, thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.